this first one's called Pandas. The pandas at Edinburgh Zoo were drunk again on blue bamboo. Fumbling ensued to sire a brood, though they'd never been taught how to screw. Keen but completely naive in techniques to make pandas conceive, they tried every which way through all the weekdays and were exhausted by Saturday Eve. They just could not get the act right. The flames of passion were slow to ignite. They tumbled, wrestled and cried, each game two black eyes, a blur of fur moving in black and white. Impeded by those tourists staring and zookeepers gleefully leering, you know it's hard to perform when you're under such scorn, and each time you embrace you hear cheering. I think that you'd falter too if you were forced to have sex in a zoo for a crowd of voyeur like a porn star with fur. I'd fake a headache, wouldn't you? this one's called Premature Poet, and it's about my tendency to talk too fast when I'm performing. I'm a premature poet, the words come out too fast. I just get overexcited and my rhyming never lasts. I splurge an hour's performance in 15 minutes flat. The poems fall in dollops, spent with a shameful splat. It's just that I get nervous, though others say there's nothing to it. I find it hard to get relaxed when you lot are watching me do it. I want to satisfy a crowd, but as I reach my peak, I leave them unfulfilled with a cheap sex joke, and I'm embarrassed to even speak. I've tried the pills and potions, I've tried drinking pre-show rum, I've tried applying delayed action jelly, but it just made my lips go numb. Some people have even suggested that abstinence is key, but I know I'd go blind on my lonesome, reciting solo poetry. So I'll carry on rhyming so quickly, blushing and feeling ashamed, and you guys will just have to bear with me until my poetic dysfunction is tamed. Thank you. I did a gig in Wisbeach on Thursday to celebrate the fact that Wisbeach Museum have the manuscript of Great Expectations written in Charles Dickens' own handwriting. Why would they have that in Wisbeach? I don't know. But so I was asked to write some Dickens-style poetry, or poetry about Dickens characters. So I was thinking about Miss Havisham and the fact that she may not have been like a withered old crone elderly and could have been perhaps as young as 35. So I thought if if somebody was 35 now and had been jilted, what would they do to get over it? So this is called Miss Havisham's Solution. Turns out, in the end, I just had to stop moping. Becoming a shut-in, I just wasn't coping. So I got dumped, well, we've all been there. I got back on the horse, because there were men to be snared. Because being a single lady of a certain age is nothing to be sneered at. In fact, it's all the rage. If Jen Aniston could do it, well, why couldn't I? I donned fake lashes in false town and set out to bag me a guy. I wouldn't find a bloke gathering dust up in my room. The world's a man market and there's meat to consume. So I went out on the town to get my broken heart healed, though I swapped the dirty dress for a fuck me frock and killer heels. I needed rum and karaoke to make me feel alive, so I got sloshed and took off my shoes and slurred to I Will Survive. I danced like a loon, shook off the cobwebs quite literally, to show all these youngsters I'm not yet fit for antiquity. Got kicked out of the club for dancing on the bar, they might not have minded but I'd stripped down to my bra. Got some stars inked on my ankle in a dodgy tattoo place. Really glad they dissuaded me from getting some on my face. Pinched several men's bottoms, don't begrudge a cheeky grab, then stumbled back to Satis with a doner meat kebab. A smile on my lips as I crawled into bed. Nothing like a wicked night to get what's his name out of my head. this one's called The Cat in a Fez. While taking a swim off Los Mochis in the temperate sea of Cortez, I happened upon a small island on which lived a cat in a fez. As I stumbled ashore, I first glimpsed him, a flash of tassel and red through the trees. There were rumours that he granted wishes. There were rumours that he ate your knees. I'd never been fond of my kneecaps, and I was in need of a new microwave. So I crept along after the beastie and followed him into a cave. The inside of his lair was astounding, and I fell to the ground in my shock. I could see hats of all kinds in the caverns. Perhaps my sanity had taken a knock. The cat in the fez sat there knitting an elaborate woolen beret. Around him were threads, scissors, fabric, and the needles and yarn for crochet. To start with, I thought I was crazy, till the magical Moggy exclaimed, "Good morning, may I grant you some wishes?" as it is wishes for which I am famed. I explained about the microwave oven. Then came the reply of the cat. I'm afraid that I only grant wishes that involve the procurement of hats. I can see that you're disappointed, he continued to knit as we sat. But it's a specialist field, I realise, but you don't forget that I am just a cat. I had to concede him the point there. I'd been blinded by material greed. So I ordered a Stetson and a cloth cap and a sombrero made of ribbons and tweed. I'm still waiting for my items to come through. They've been dispatched, so the email says. But I really think that I was swindled. Swindled by a cat in a fez. Thank you. This one is a poem that actually won me some money, so that's nice. And it's about a place that I go to more often than perhaps I go home, Tesco's. And it's called Self-Service Seduction. Press her touchscreen, touch her dials, a velvet voice vixen with added feminine wiles. You've got your favourite, the one by the door. You've tried to keep away but always go back for more. She's a dogmatic dominatrix, in tones of harsh insistence. She'll mock your prowess. Please, wait for assistance. If you go too far, she gets quite cross. She's impatient if you're slow. And if you treat her badly, the whole shop has to know. She's a temperamental nightmare, a machine that's hell-conceived. And her obsession with the club card has to be seen to be believed. You've tried to live without her, but real assistants aren't as great, and there's something weirdly satisfying in the way she makes you wait. She's a supermarket saucepot, she makes you feel inferior, but the way she beeps so teasingly makes you long for her interior. You want to put something unexpected into her bagging area. It's self-service seduction, a plain and simple fact, and since you were caught with your tongue in her coin slot, you won't be invited back. This one's one that I wrote for my friend, and it's called Codpiece. So, fat with mead and humble, to the bedchamber we stumble, to partake in lustful fumbles there upon the bed of straw. And my lord, with fingers itching, moves to loosen all the stitching of his codpiece, which is twitching, and to the floor does fall my jaw. For my lord's professed protrusion is naught but an overstuffed illusion, and he's under much delusion if he thinks his member great. There's nothing worth the shock of finding oneself under cock, so my chastity belt stays locked. Sire's pants weren't worth the wait. Thank you. And I'll just leave you on this one, which is a heart-wrenching ballad about unrequited love, and it's called The Loneliest Gimp. A muffled sob strikes through the night and punctuates the peace. The gimp is all bereft again with no one to hold his leash. No partner here to share his life, his heart feels lost and limp. There's no pleasure in the paddle now, now he's the loneliest gimp. A lover who will heal his soul is nowhere to be found. After all, it's hard to date when blindfolded, taped and bound. He's tried introduction websites, dinner parties and speed dating. One girl said she'd call him. 2 years later, he's still waiting. He just wants someone to understand his needs, which are complex. He wants love and sweet affection and gentle, sensible sex. A job's a job, it pays the bills. His work should not define him. But like the cage he sits inside, his profession does confine him. To meet a woman of his type, he needs to change his tactics. Nice girls aren't so keen on men who dress like prophylactics. He's sobbing, oh so softly, but it's not a conscious choice. You see, when you wear a ball gag, it's hard to raise your voice. In an attic room in Soho, no one can hear his cries, and his limbs are strapped so tightly he can't even wipe his eyes. So when you have life troubles, count it advantageous that you don't have to wear a gimp mask in order to earn your wages. Thank you. Thank you very much.